Hi, I'm H.S. Wolf. I'm a trans disabled author and artist living abroad with my spouse while he earns his master's degree and hopefully PhD. In the Garden of Echo is the first book that I ever wrote and published. It is the first in a trilogy about Echo and Ender. They've existed nearly as long as the Earth itself. They're hungry, in love, and indestructible. For centuries, they've wandered across the continents, feeding from their favorite food source, humans. But the mess they've left in their wake has consequences, and their prey may discover Echo and Ender are not what they seem. After being forced to curb their feeding and go into hiding, a tragic incident leads Echo and Ender to learn about what they are and the power they are truly capable of. I hope you enjoy this audio production. In the Garden of Echo was written by me, H.S. Wolf, and edited by my good friend Tyler Battaglia, who also has a book out of his own called Pray for Him, as well as several short stories. This audio production I'm just kind of doing for fun. I thought it would be really cool to read my book out loud, and I am currently pretty early on in my transition, so my voice is changing in a way that I quite like, and I thought that I could immortalize it by recording. I also thought this would just generally be a really cool project. I'm not doing it for profit. I'm not planning on being an audiobook narrator for anybody outside of my own audiobook because, like I said, I'm learning and I don't really know what I'm doing. But this has been really fun and I'm really lucky to have access to recording equipment. Thanks to June, who is currently working in tandem with a startup here in Aarhus, because he is working on a project called Bookery, a website that he started in the wake of Itch.io and all the issues with payment processors. He hopes to eventually build a site where creators like myself can host our content without fear of being targeted by the U.S.'s political agenda. Things are kind of a shit show right now, though, and even though I no longer live in the U.S. because June came and rescued me and swept me away, I still am heavily affected by, I mean, not as much as y'all, but I'm still affected by what's going on in the United States. It's affected my publishing. It's affected, you know, where I can host my books at. So we're all in this together. I hope getting to listen to this podcast brings a little joy. It's been hard for me to record because I can't say cock without laughing. So don't make fun of me. Only nice things. Please be advised that the story I'm about to tell is not for the weak of stomach. Full content notes can be found on wolfhorror.com or at the link in my bio. All works are copyright H.S. Wolf and may not be replicated, reproduced, or distributed without my explicit consent. At no point in the making of this audio or the book that I am reading was AI used, and this is not to be used for training AI. The story, names, and characters portrayed are all fictitious. Season 1, In the Garden of Echo, for June, who helped me bloom. Part 1. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Genesis 2:25. Chapter 1. Ender. Present. The house. I'm on my way to a house show, Echo in tow beside me. It's been about a week since the two of us have been to the last one. I can feel the reverberations from the cheap sound system in me already. Music has changed so much since we've been around, but I love it all the same. Echo and I have shared a meal or two, but haven't feasted since the last show we went to, and the music is having a Pavlovian effect on her. I watch from the corner of my eye as she wipes drool from her lips with the back of her hand not occupied with a cell phone, then smears it down the hip of her black cotton bike shorts. After years of ignoring the technological advances around us, Echo convinced me to invest in a cell phone. Neither of us have ever been quick to catch on to trends. Humans cycle through them so quickly. And by the time we've caught on, they've circled back to a previous one. It's just a blip in our lives, so it's never felt necessary to have something like the small computer Echo's become entranced by. We really only need one between the two of us, because we've never been apart from each other. If there's ever a day where we're split up, the city better pray to their gods we find each other again quickly. There are those who would call it extreme, but we're the only two out there like us. We gave up on finding others ages ago and realized we must have been built just for each other. Someone's grand design worked out, though, because Echo and I are a perfect pair. Either that, or we've been around each other so long that we've become perfect. We can change our appearances, and every few decades, Echo gets the itch to remold us into something new. I don't know when I started doing it, but now I match my face to hers. It might have always been this way. Hallmark could make a really fucked up movie about us. I turn my head to look at Echo more directly. She's been distracted for most of the walk, fiddling with settings on her phone. She's memorized by the novelty of a screen you can touch. I decide I would let her have it for the walk over, but I would take it back for the party. Her fixation on the bright, pixelated screen could make her sloppy, and I selfishly wanted her to focus. Get in, eat, get out. Then we could go home again, be alone together again. I shuffle closer to her while we're walking and nudge my shoulder gently into the side of her arm to get her attention. Her skin is soft and cold. She's several inches taller than me. We're almost there, I tell her. She whips her head around towards me, her long, greasy brown hair flying over her shoulder. I can tell she's excited to eat because her glamour is rippling around her face. Her eyes are just a little too big, taking up more of her face than they should, bright like they're illuminated. Her smile stretches across cheeks, enough to be uncanny. The sharpness of her teeth is visible behind her extended lips. You can hear the sound of hundreds of cicadas rising up around us. It roars in my ears like I'm surrounded deep inside of a writhing swarm. The noise crescendos before she breathes out slowly to calm herself, then it ceases altogether, sharp and quick. I'm able to hear the sound of live music again. I'm hungry, she tells me, her voice drawn out like a hiss, mismatched to the smile on her face. I hold my hand out to her and she slaps the cell phone into my open palm so I can tuck it into the back pocket of my severely cropped black jean shorts that I'm wearing. I needed my thighs free for what I've got planned tonight. We've gotten really into DIY clothing, cutting and cropping them at every opportunity. The more exposed skin, the better for shifting. And fucking. Echo's dirty white shirt is cropped so much that the bottom of her breasts are visible. She didn't have those yesterday, but she liked how they looked when she got excited, her hard nipples poking at the thin fabric. I'm wearing a band shirt with illegible writing on it, the letters branching off like thorny vines. Echo cut the sleeves and most of the sides out of it. I feel like a slut, and I love it. Echo and I have defaulted to her and him, but the labels are arbitrary. They mean next to nothing to us. If you asked us, we really didn't lean in either direction. Or maybe we leaned into both. We were constantly shifting, matching each other, exchanging parts with each other like trading cards. Biology seemed to matter a great deal to a lot of humans, a fact that has stayed constant throughout time. We keep guessing how long it will take them to get over themselves, except those who fall outside of the guidelines, and we're never right. For us, though, it was all a playground. A human's default design is merely a suggestion, one that we rarely follow. It's only a few more minutes of walking, and then we've reached our destination. The house looks like every other around it, a sad beige color with a barely kept lawn. There's no flowers or plants other than grass. The porch and yard have been smartly decorated with a variety of objects. Beer cans, cigarette butts, red Solo cups, what appears to be a lost sock. Echo falls in line behind me as I walk up the steps and knock on the door. It isn't immediately answered, and I wonder if maybe the inhabitants can't hear us over the band. I raise my fist to rap against the wood a second time, but I don't end up needing to. The door swings open, answered by a very tall man in his late 20s. Echo and I are both hit with the pungent smell of weed and cheap stale beer. Dorgai isn't just tall, but thick and very handsome underneath the toll that hard partying has begun to have on his features. He sways where he stands, and from around his arm, I can see that the party is in full swing. Echo and I count on these folks being inebriated to a degree. It makes them less present, easier to hunt. You know, steak knife or something? Dorgai grunts at us. Behind me, Echo snorts, quickly trying to stifle the sound behind her hand. Point over my shoulder at her with my thumb. She does, but she doesn't do parties alone. He looks me up and down, mulling over the information in his beer-addled brain. A benefit to wearing her face. People are more likely to let a girl and her presumed brother in over a girl and her boyfriend. Dorgai nods and steps to the side to allow us in. Echo clasps her hands over my shoulders, leaning forward to whisper to me. Steak knife, she giggles, her breath tickling my ear. Makes my stomach flip, a blush creep across my cheeks. I think I like that name. It's funny. Her voice is a hiss. You'll have to write that one down, I tell her, crossing one of my arms over my chest so I can touch the fingers she's gripping my shoulder with. She nods and slides her hand away from me, straightening up. Echo has been keeping a diary, probably since sometime in the 1500s, though I can no longer remember. The only thing she writes down in it is names she likes. It's just lists upon lists of names and nothing else. Her original notebook is so sad and decrepit. I've been wanting to transfer the names over to something new, as a surprise, but I know that the shreds that are left of her original notebook are sentimental to her. It's something that ages us, helps us pass the endless time. We've never done birthdays. We don't know those. We have no recollection of being children, or growing up, or even meeting each other. It's like one day we just were. I remember our naming day, though, and we do celebrate that. I picked Echo for her, and she chose Ender for me. I make a beeline for the kitchen, Echo's hand clutched in mine as I maneuver through the crowd, grabbing two beers from a cooler filled with melted ice. I hand one to her, then pop the tap on my own. The water is no longer cold, and the beers themselves are quickly warming up. We don't actually drink. Alcohol, among other human consumables, does nothing for us. It only works if we eat someone with high concentrations in their blood. We've discovered, though, that people are more likely to relax if we look like we're also drinking. It helps us blend in. It doesn't take long for me to find the basement and lead Echo down with me. It's far too loud to communicate with each other, but we've always shared some sort of internal wavelength, able to sense each other's intentions. Echo and I briefly split, integrating into the throng of the crowd. I go left, Echo veers right. The hunt for our dinner starts now. Thank you for listening. Episodes will be uploaded bi-weekly. Right now, queer and trans creators like myself are under fire by corrupt puritanical payment processors and right-wing efforts to censor and deny access to and destroy queer media. Please visit yellat.money to see how you can use your voice to speak up against censorship. Tell your payment processors to stop censoring what you can and can't buy. If you would like to purchase a digital or paperback copy of this work, you can do so by visiting shop.wolfhorror.com. That's Wolf, spelled with an E, W-O-L-F-E. You can also support me if you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more of it by joining the Wolf's Den at $2 a month on my website. For all inquiries about this podcast or otherwise, you can email me at hswolf, spelled with an E, W-O-L-F-E, writing@gmail.com. That's hswolfwriting@gmail.com.